Hi, podcast listeners. It's Chris Boyd. On KERA Radio, we're busy hosting our winter membership campaign. It's one of the few times each year when we ask listeners to support the programming that KERA provides by making financial contributions to the station. Well, we've decided to experiment with cutting those pitch breaks from the podcast. You won't hear the phone number and wonder if anyone is actually standing by at that very moment to take your call. But we would still really appreciate it if you are able to contribute. Your donation goes to support all the programming you hear on KERA, including our streaming service. And most importantly, it pays for this podcast so that you can listen to Think wherever you are in the world, whenever you are in time. You can make your contribution online at kera.org. It only takes a minute. In fact, you could do it while listening to this podcast. Thanks for listening to Think. Here's today's show.
Funding for Think is provided by SMU Continuing and Professional Education.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. Will a day come when same-sex couples are granted the right to marry in Texas with all the social and legal benefits and responsibilities attached to heterosexual marriages, or will the state's 2005 constitutional amendment against same-sex marriage ultimately be upheld? U.S. Judge Orlando Garcia of San Antonio yesterday issued a 48-page ruling declaring the state amendment banning same-sex marriages to be a violation of the Constitution on the grounds that it denies gay and lesbian Americans their right to equal protection under the law. Practically speaking, for now, nothing has changed for same-sex Texas couples who wish to marry, since Judge Garcia immediately issued a stay on his own decision pending an expected appeal to the Fifth Circuit Court. So how significant is yesterday's ruling, and what impact will it have on the ongoing fight to permit or prohibit same-sex couples marrying in this state? Former U.S. District Judge Royal Ferguson joins us to discuss the implications. These days, he serves as Dean of the University of North Texas School of Law. Judge Ferguson, welcome back to Think.
Thank you so much, Chris. It's a pleasure to be here.
Start, if you would, by telling us about the grounds on which the four plaintiffs, two different couples in this case, filed their lawsuits.
They said that the Texas laws that prohibit same-sex marriage violate the equal protection and due process clauses of the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. And they cited in their papers that there were Texas laws that impacted them, that refused to recognize their marriage, and then did not allow them to, for example, claim statutory protections afforded to marriage couples under the death of a spouse, to bring an action for wrongful death, to claim protections against the partition of a homestead, to receive community property presumptions, to petition the court for an equitable division of community property, to seek spousal maintenance, to enjoy the benefits of the zone of privacy that heterosexual couples enjoy, to enjoy succession rights under the laws of intestacy, and so forth. They said because their marriages were not recognized by the state of Texas, they were penalized and unable to avail themselves of important state laws.
So in his ruling, Judge Garcia cited the Supreme Court's decision in U.S. v. Windsor, which held that the federal government can't refuse to recognize a state-sanctioned marriage between two men or two women. What was the significance of that, the practical significance, for same-sex couples legally married in other states?
The practical significance was enormous. Now, since Windsor, six different U.S. district courts in six different states have reviewed cases challenging prohibitions of same-sex marriage. And in every instance, all six cases, the district judges have cited Windsor and held the state laws unconstitutional. So Windsor really set the table for all of these lawsuits that are now being filed in states. Now, remember that Windsor was a lawsuit that challenged the Defense of Marriage Act, which was a federal statute. So it had no implication for any state laws. Mm-hmm. And so now, state by state, the laws that prohibit same-sex marriage are being challenged. And this was the sixth challenge that was brought in Texas.
There are 17 states in the District of Columbia now that permit same-sex marriage. There are lawsuits ongoing in 24 additional states. How important is it to both sides that this question be decided ultimately on a state-by-state basis as opposed to having the Supreme Court come in and sort of put its foot down in on one side or the other?
Well, normally the Supreme Court won't take a case until it's sort of germinated in the lower courts. And so it's important to the people who are bringing these lawsuits that they bring lawsuits across the country, because in that way they can have many lawsuits pending, decided, and coming up the process. And that will really mean really for certain that the Supreme Court will eventually take the case and make the resolution.
Mm-hmm. What does it mean that every American is guaranteed equal protection under the law? Can you explain that in layman's terms?
Well, just for example, the law has developed this concept called suspect class or protected class. Just for example, let's take African Americans. Under the equal protection laws, they can't be discriminated against because of the color of their skin. And so what equal protection means is that laws can't be passed that target African Americans and bring some prohibition to them that is enjoyed by the general public. Equal protection means that everybody's protected, and the law has been written now that there are certain suspect characterizations like African Americans, Latinos, where if you're trying to single them out for different treatment under the laws, the Constitution says you can't do that.
Okay, so Justice Anthony Kennedy, writing for the majority in U.S. v. Windsor, said the Defense of Marriage Act demeaned and stigmatized LGBT Americans. Can you talk about what you think he meant by that language?
It's really interesting to read that opinion and to read the dissent mm-hmm. by Justice Scalia, because normally what would happen in a case like this, you would talk about the degree of scrutiny that is given, for example, to a suspected law, the degree of scrutiny. And he doesn't talk about that in such a way that would indicate that homosexual couples or homosexuals are a protected class. He just says that there's no rational reason for the law. There's no rational basis for the law. And therefore, to pass the law really demeans the people who are the target of the law. That's what I think he means. Mm-hmm. But we still have this sort of ongoing debate, and it's going to probably be important at some point for the Supreme Court to decide whether homosexuals are actually a suspect class or a protected class that deserves equal treatment across the board. And I think that issue is coming, and I'm not able to predict how it will go, but it may come in these cases that are involving the right to marriage. It may come in other cases. For example, there's a question, you know, you can't discriminate against people in public accommodations. Is that true for homosexuals as well as for African-Americans and Latinos? It's not clear, and we're just going to have to wait and see what happens.
What are the sort of pros and cons from the perspective of people who support same-sex marriage of either being a protected class or not?
Well, if they become a protected class, they will not be able to be discriminated against across the board. And it will be just similar to the discrimination laws that have been passed against African Americans or Latinos. Those laws have all been written off the books. And if homosexual people become a protected class, then discrimination will not be allowed against them. And I think the courts are going in that direction, but Justice Kennedy really declined to go that far in his decision in Windsor, where he was looking at the Defense of Marriage Act.
Justice Scalia writing for
Justice Kennedy.
Yes.
Justice Kennedy refused to go, and Justice Scalia criticized him for that.
Right. And I was going to say, he correctly, Justice Scalia correctly predicted that sort of overturning DOMA would open the floodgates to a lot of state action. And that is, in fact, precisely what happened.
Absolutely. And it was interesting. Justice Roberts also wrote a dissent. And basically, he said, this is our Constitution's based on the concept of federalism. And under our federalism, laws regarding marriage are peculiarly given to the states. And so we ought to stay out of that. That was his view. But that didn't, of course, carry the day either.
We are speaking this hour with Judge Royal Ferguson, former U.S. District Court judge, now Dean of the University of North Texas Law School. We're talking about same-sex marriage and Texas law, and we will resume the discussion in just a couple of minutes.
Funding for Think is provided by SMU Summer Youth, with more than 30 new programs for students entering kindergarten through 12th grade at SMU in Plano from June through August. Registration opens March 5th at smu.edu/summeryouth.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. We're talking this hour about same-sex marriage and Texas law with former U.S. District Court Judge Royal Ferguson, who is now Dean of the University of North Texas School of Law. Mark Ferris and Victor Holmes of Plano, a couple for 16 years, were two of the four plaintiffs who sued the state to have the ban on same-sex marriage in Texas declared unconstitutional. Ferris talked with KERA's Shelley Koffler today. He said the judge's ruling yesterday was a victory for the many Texas couples who want to marry and cannot. Ferris says being able to marry would bring great emotional joy, but also provide some practical benefits.
By not being able to marry, we have had to spend thousands of dollars having a will prepared that would make sure that in the event I pass away, Vic would receive the home that we've lived in now for the last 14 years. We've had to have medical powers of attorney prepared so that if I'm unconscious or he's unconscious, we can make medical decisions for the other person and also be permitted in the room with the person. We've had to have prepared a document that allows us to make funeral decisions for the other person and, in fact, be able to be at the funeral.
So if you're allowed to marry, what changes in your life?
Well, I'll be able to call him husband, and that will mean so much. Just emotionally, it gives dignity to our relationship, and that's really what we're seeking.
Mark Ferris, by the way, shares an unusual connection with Attorney General Greg Abbott, who is defending the ban on same-sex marriage in Texas. They attended law school together. Shelley Koffler will have that story tonight during All Things Considered. Coming back now to our discussion with former U.S. District Court Judge Royal Ferguson, now Dean of the University of Texas School of Law. I'd like to talk, Judge, about the arguments likely to be made in that appeal by the Attorney General's office. In the original case, Attorney General Greg Abbott said this is simply an issue of states' rights, that the federal government has long recognized that each state can regulate marriage as it sees fit. How different historically have U.S. states been in defining the responsibilities and privileges of married people?
The federal courts have given states a great deal of latitude in doing that, but there are limits. For example, in the case of Loving versus Virginia.
This is the anti-miscegenation.
Right. Virginia had a law prohibiting marriage between races, and the Supreme Court said that that denied equal protection of the laws, and they held that law unconstitutional. So there have been certainly instances where the U.S. Supreme Court has drawn some limits on the broad right that the states have to regulate marriage.
Did laws against interracial marriages sort of turn over in a pattern that resembles what's happening now with same-sex marriage?
Not. I don't think with the rapidity mm-hmm. that this has happened.
It's funny to think that it was 2003 that Lawrence v. Texas happened.
Correct.
And now in 2014, we're talking possibly about allowing same-sex marriage.
Exactly. I think the change has been at sort of light speed. It's really astounding that it's where it is. Right now, as at least I think you mentioned, as I understand it, 17 states plus the District of Columbia no longer prohibit same-sex marriages, and then plus six district courts have held under Windsor that six other states cannot prohibit same-sex marriage. So you now have 23 states basically where same-sex marriage is legal. Now, the district court cases are all stayed. They're on hold pending appeal. But eventually, if those lawsuits were approved on appeal, then, in fact, you'd have the whole United States basically in a situation where same-sex marriage would be allowed. But the change in the laws here, I think, has been like lightning. Probably there's not much parallel. You think of Brown versus Board of Education, mm-hmm. which said there's no such thing as separate but equal, and there could be no more segregated schools. It took a decade or two
after the Supreme Court ruling,
mm-hmm. to get those get that change within the public school system. And remember, there was the language "all deliberate speed." Nobody knew what that meant, but for many school
defined districts, in many different ways.
That's right. For many school districts, it meant 15 or 20 years. Yeah. I remember I grew up in Lubbock. I graduated from Lubbock High School in 1960. It still was not integrated. I went back to Kirk for Judge Woodward in 1970, and he desegregated the schools. So wow. That was 16 years after Brown versus Board of Education. The thing that has happened here is just different in kind. It's probably unprecedented.
So another of the arguments that Attorney General Abbott has made is that the state of Texas, and I suppose any state, but has an interest in promoting, I want to read this quote properly, responsible procreation and child rearing, which he said are supported by traditional heterosexual marriage. I'm curious about whether the state pursues those interests on any other fronts besides allowing heterosexual marriage and not allowing homosexual marriage.
Well, let me say first that that argument's been made in almost every case, and I think it's been uniformly rejected. So I don't think that any court that's looked at it has eventually found that that argument has enough weight to change the way the courts look at same-sex marriage. I think it's just been rejected as a valid argument.
How does the state of Texas handle it right now if a same-sex couple, which is not able to marry in Texas, is raising children together?
You know, that, I think, is an interesting question, and I'm not for sure how that's handled. But as I understood the case that came out of Judge Garcia's court in San Antonio, there is uncertainty among same-sex couples about exactly the strength of their legal rights to their children in certain circumstances. For example, if one part of the couple adopted a child, the other part of the couple didn't, the person that adopted the child died, what legal rights would the partner have? I think all those questions are really pretty up in the air in Texas, but it certainly gives same-sex couples a great deal of uncertainty about where they are in the law if something were to happen that changed the equation. For example, what if they split? What would be the right of the non-custodial person in the arrangement to have any visitation? These issues are very unclear in Texas, and I think that's why the plaintiffs and so many people like the plaintiffs decided to litigate this.
How long will it take for this case to actually be considered by the Fifth Circuit Court?
I think it'll be considered quickly. Mm-hmm. First of all, there's no, quote, record. Nobody took days of testimony. This was done basically on submission. Mm-hmm. So you have pleadings and then you have submissions that are in the form of affidavits and so forth. So the record is very small. And really, basically, this is a question of law based upon a small record. That means that you don't have to have big transcripts. You don't have to wait for the court report to get everything together. The matter can be appealed, frankly, immediately. The briefs can all be in and sort of the issue joined, I think, within 90 days or so. And it can be assigned then for argument within another 90 to 120 days. And my view is in 8 to 10 months, there could be a decision here. And I think the Fifth Circuit will give this matter attention. I mean, this is just not like some case just coming up. All cases are important, but this case has such notoriety about it that I think the Fifth Circuit will understand the need for speed to get a decision so that the matter can keep going up the chain.
Well, let's talk about that, because the Fifth Circuit, it's almost like, are you saying that regardless of what the Fifth Circuit decides, that will not be the end of this question in Texas?
I think that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. I think every one of these cases going to the U.S. Supreme Court, there's going to be a request that the U.S. Supreme Court take it. Of course, the U.S. Supreme Court is a different kind of court in that it completely controls its docket, and it has complete discretion about what cases it takes and doesn't take. For example, there may be a couple of cases that would be, quote, ripe to go to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, we're not ready, so we're going to wait another year. So I think the Fifth Circuit will want to get its decision made with the clear understanding that it's important to do so for the U.S. Supreme Court to look at it. Now, one thing that could happen in the Fifth Circuit, and I wouldn't be surprised if it happens, the appeal goes to a three-judge panel, but there are 17 judges in the Fifth Circuit. And so there are situations where the court as a whole, all 17 judges can sit to review a decision that's made by a three-judge panel. Mm-hmm. And I would not be surprised if the three-judge panel opinion, whatever it is, might go to what's called an en banc review so that the whole court could look at it. And, of course, if that happens, then it will slow things down somewhat. And so then we'll be over a year before it goes on. I'll just give you an example. We had the terrible case of the sleeping lawyer in a capital murder case. Mm-hmm.
The defense attorney was obviously, or I shouldn't say obviously, but the contention was that the defense attorney was not acting appropriately.
Exactly. That seemed asleep or drowsy or not paying attention. And so that case went up through the state process, and the Court of Criminal Appeals said, no, you had a lawyer. We're not going to determine whether he was asleep or not. And then it went to the Fifth Circuit. The three-judge panel, with one dissent, said, nope, we're not going to look at this. We're going to give deference to what the court says below, the state court. And then the whole court looked at it, the 17 judges, and said, stop. Anytime you're putting someone to death, you need to make sure that that lawyer is fully alert. And it's clear that this lawyer, in many instances, was not fully alert. And we find then that that case gets overruled and has to be retried with a new lawyer. And so that's just an example of how the process can work.
We're speaking this hour with former U.S. District Court Judge Royal Ferguson, now Dean of the University of North Texas School of Law.
Funding for Think is provided by SMU Summer Youth, with more than 30 new programs for students entering kindergarten through 12th grade at SMU in Plano from June through August. Registration opens March 5th at smu.edu/summeryouth.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. We're talking this hour about same-sex marriage and Texas law following U.S. Judge Orlando Garcia's decision yesterday that a state amendment banning same-sex marriages in Texas is a violation of the U.S. Constitution on the grounds that it denies gay and lesbian Americans their right to equal protection under the law. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can call 1-800-933-5372. Our guest this hour is former U.S. District Court Judge Royal Ferguson, now Dean of the University of Texas School of Law. Judge Ferguson, in theory, right, public opinion is not a factor for the U.S. Supreme Court.
That's correct.
Their job is simply to interpret the Constitution. In practice, is public sentiment an influence?
I think to some extent it is. There's an old saying that the Supreme Court watches the election returns. Now, exactly how much that is true in any particular case is hard to say. But I do think they keep an eye on where this country's going and the trends in this country. How much that that factors into any particular decision is hard to say. But over time, I think the court does have its eye on public opinion.
Were you surprised by U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder's announcement that he was of the opinion that state attorneys general are not obligated to defend laws that they believe to violate the Constitution?
You know, that's a tough problem because state attorneys general are required to uphold the laws of their state. And I think you get into an awkward position if you start saying, well, right now, Attorney General Greg Abbott, you can defend whatever laws you like, and you can decline to defend the laws you don't like. It's a very difficult area. Now, you can maybe pinpoint a particular case, like maybe miscegenation, something like that, where a state attorney general would not support the law, which is pretty clearly unconstitutional. But I think it's a very difficult thing to say and do in practice.
Legally, Judge, how much difference is there between a state like Texas, which in 2005 passed a constitutional amendment against same-sex marriage, as opposed to a state that simply doesn't permit same-sex marriage by statute?
Say that one more time.
How different is it that we have a constitutional amendment against same-sex marriage as opposed to another kind of sort of garden variety law?
Okay, that is different. And that's a great question, Chris, because once you put it in the Constitution, all sorts of importance surrounds it. So, for example, if someone told Attorney General Greg Abbott, you don't have to protect the Constitution of the state of Texas, I think he would find that a very unusual proposition. And I think almost all of our citizens would, because if it's in the Constitution, at least you ought to try to the best of your ability to protect the fundamental law of your state. We're in a very difficult time right now, but I don't think there's any question that the Attorney General will appeal this case and will do his best to defend the case, to defend the Constitution.
And what's to stop people? We now are seeing polls that it appears that adult voting Texans are split about 50-50. Different polls say slightly different things on this question of whether same-sex marriage should be legal. But what's to stop supporters of same-sex marriage from going down the sort of legal, not in the courts, but putting this to a vote, overturning the 2005 ban on same-sex marriage?
I think right now in Texas it would be a hard thing to bring the matter to a vote. What is it? 9 or 10 states have voted to eliminate same-sex marriage prohibitions.
Right.
So, but most of those states are in the north, northeast, or northwest. And I don't believe there's any southern or southwestern state that's done that. So I think we're a part of a region where getting approval from the electorate for same-sex marriage would take a while to come, just my view.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Jason is on the line in Plano. Hi, Jason.
Hi. Kind of piggybacking on what you were saying earlier about the constitutional amendment, what else can be done if it can't be put forth as a referendum for the Constitution? Would that be something that would have to go to the Supreme Court for them to decide, aside from it being unconstitutional? Or is that something that's got to pass through the voters?
Well, I think if we wanted to change the Constitution, it would have to pass through the voters. Since the Constitution creates fundamental law, it really has to be a matter voted on by the people. Now, this may get short-circuited, of course, because of the decision coming out of San Antonio and because of the Supreme Court case in Windsor. But if you change fundamental law, constitution of a state, you must do it by a vote of the people.
We have an email here from Cassie who's asking about, she says, what seems to be a contradiction under state law that recognizes heterosexual couples as married under common law statutes simply by living as a married couple, but without ever having been married. How does that play into the way these laws are argued and discussed?
Well, my view would be that you could not make an argument in Texas today that you have established a common law relationship that amounts to marriage. Of course, as you know, people can live together, cohabitate together, a man and a woman, and without a marriage ceremony or even going to your county clerk and getting a marriage license, you can be held to be a husband and wife, and you can inherit and do other things in accordance with that common law principle. I don't think the way Texas is structured and the way our Constitution in Texas is structured that a same-sex couple could create a common law marriage in Texas at this time.
How likely is it that this Texas case that Judge Garcia has now stayed pending the appeal will be the first one to go up to the Supreme Court for consideration on the matters in question? Because I know there are similar lawsuits ongoing in other states.
Well, he is the sixth court, district court, in the federal system that's declared a state prohibition unconstitutional. The other cases may be moving with some quickness, and those cases may end up being ready to go to the Supreme Court. Remember, we were early talking about the fact that the Supreme Court has discretion about whether to take a case or not. So the Supreme Court may say, we're not ready, even if there are two or three cases before Judge Garcia's case, we're going to wait and see what another five or six or seven courts do. What is interesting, and you brought it up, Chris, is Justice Scalia in his dissent in Windsor said, Justice Kennedy, you are just basically telling federal judges that they need to declare same-sex marriage prohibitions unconstitutional. You're just telling it to them. And that's what it's turned out to be, because six have looked at it and six have followed Windsor and six have declare the prohibition unconstitutional. I would be, at least at the district court level, I would be surprised if a district court judge would in some way distinguish Windsor and not follow it. Now, the Court of Appeals could be a different thing based upon a whole bunch of different dynamics. But my guess is Justice Scalia was right in his dissent and that these cases will all probably be decided basically the same way, at least at the trial court level.
So do you think it will be a matter of months, of years, before this case is resolved in the state of Texas?
This is 2014.
Yeah.
It'll be resolved in 2015 in the Fifth Circuit, and sometime in 2015 or at least 2016, predictions are difficult, but I think it'll be resolved for good. And maybe probably around 2016, the Supreme Court will take a certain number of cases and they will resolve it.
Pending between the Fifth Circuit's ruling, provided that the Fifth Circuit upheld what Judge Garcia did, would there be another stay until the Supreme Court would take it?
I would think so. And by the way, people wonder, why did Judge Garcia stay it? I think it made sense because Judge Garcia knew if he didn't stay it, there could be an immediate appeal of the Fifth Circuit, and in all likelihood, the Fifth Circuit would stay his decision.
Mm-hmm.
So Judge Garcia really followed a very predictable path here in the way he ruled and the way he decided to stay the case.
Judge Royal Ferguson is former U.S. District Court judge, now Dean of the University of North Texas Law School. Judge, it's been such an informative hour. Thank you so much for explaining this to us and spending the time with us.
Oh, thank you, Chris. It's been a pleasure.